bring before you, you will find in the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, reading verses 3 and 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, reading verses 3 and 4. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Must first speak of the one who was used by God to beg the body of Jesus, and who, with the help of Nicodemus, took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in fine linen, with the spices, the myrrh. And as we come to this part of the subject, it is, we feel, because of the word or that which our subject commences with. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" This great stone, which was rolled to the door of the sepulchre by Joseph of Arimathea, and I am sure that we may rightly say too that Nicodemus also was with him. This is very evident by what is recorded in the Gospel of John. And I hope with the Lord's help that we may begin our meditation thinking of the wonder of this, that God should use two very rich men to attend to this sacred duty of going to Pilate and begging, asking for his body. I just read a verse in John's Gospel concerning this matter, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. I understand that this mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds, would have been and was exceedingly costly. How wondrous are the works of God in every way. seek to explain or to rightly divide the word of truth as we come to our subject this morning. First of all, there's this thought that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were not only very rich men, but they were very influential men. And therefore God knew that they were in a position to go to Pilate, that they might receive the body of Jesus. Throughout the history of this world, God has often used influential men and women in a very marked way. We need to be very, very thankful for these things. Indeed, what a wondrous, sacred, humbling thought it is that God Himself should use these exceedingly rich men to attend to that which must be accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Their influence, then, God knew was very essential. Yet at the same time, these two godly men are spoken of as being secret disciples. I know I've mentioned these truths before in former years. I felt that I must mention them again this morning, hoping that we may be led into these truths, that we too may marvel, that we may be brought to the feet of Jesus, humbled in the dust, in the wonders of redeeming. While these two men were exceedingly rich and exceedingly influential, and yet both of them were secret disciples. Neither of them had really made a public profession, an open profession of their belief in Jesus. They had not shown publicly until now that they were disciples of Jesus. Yet the Lord gave them this honor, this great honor, to go and beg the body of Jesus that they might do that which was needed, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Yet there's something more than it's there. Both of them were very, very humble men. Very gracious men. They were very pitiful men. And yet these two men were to be used of God, secret disciples. We've ever felt thankful for secret disciples, and we know there are, and I'm sure that we have secret disciples that gather with us here. And I hope the day will come with them when the Lord will bring them forth to speak of what their Lord has done for them. Oh, I hope they will. I hope the Lord. Now, a further thought is this, that after they had laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, then we have this word, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. I feel it would be right to say that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea would have had servants. And I'm sure that they would have been assisted in rolling this great stone. It must have been great. This great stone to the door of the sepulchre. It is very evident because when these dear godly women came to the sepulchre, they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" They knew that it was something that was impossible for them to do. They knew that they needed someone to do it for them. I hope to be able to speak of this presently. I wonder how many of us here this morning in our life have, to use the terminology that contained here, who have in our feelings a great stone that is rolled against something in our life. And if you know and feel that you cannot move this stone for yourself, you need the Lord to do it for you, whatever it may mean. Yet, when the time came, they found the stone was rolled away. And I just leave this thought with you. When the time comes, in your life, you will find the stone rolled away. It was rolled away in this instance by an angel. And to think of it, if I may just turn back for a moment to Matthew's Gospel. And behold, there was a great earthquake, or there had been, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back from the stone from the door and sat upon it. Our first thought then is concerning Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, secret disciples brought out into the open at this time. And what a time it was. You see, they were given this holy courage, and they certainly needed it under the circumstances. They put their lives in their hands. But they must do this. They were motivated by love. Love to Jesus. It was something they were compelled to do. And just a thought here, there might be someone who has come to chapel this morning. And there may be something in your life that you feel that you must do. And you may be exceedingly fearful. You may have been saying before your Lord, "I cannot do it." And yet, Jesus makes the weakest able. And Jesus can give you and to do that which the Lord has laid in your heart to do. We would next notice this, that after Jesus was crucified, we are told in a number of the Gospels that is true. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. How striking it is that it was dear godly women who were watching, who were waiting, who were very, very concerned about their Lord. And a further thought which is noted in a number of the Gospels and in Mark's Gospel, the last verse in the 15th chapter, we read, and Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was lying. How concerned they were concerning their Lord. How concerned they were to know where he was laid, to know where he was. And I think it's upon my spirit just to mention what is recorded in Matthew's Gospel and also in Luke's Gospel concerning this same matter. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. They were waiting around the tomb. And in Luke's Gospel, a further word there that I feel we need to listen to. And this is recorded, and women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. This dear, glorious, sacred person, the eternal Son of God, and yet the man Christ Jesus, these dear godly women whose hearts were so burdened for him, they had ministered unto him, they had followed him, they loved him. And then not only did they watch to behold the sepulchre and how his body was laid, but we have this, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now they were here then, so exercised concerning their Lord. Friends, as we have gathered on this Easter Sunday, 1985, the Lord alone knows how we have come. Christ is indeed enthroned in glory now, and has been from that time that he ascended up into glory, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and ever liveth to intercede for his dear people. But the point I would mention is this. Have we come to the house of God this morning with a longing desire in our hearts, put there by the Holy Spirit, sir, we would see Jesus? Oh, have you come with this longing this morning? Have you come with this exercise given you by the Spirit? Come, see the place where the Lord lives. And I'm sure of this, that if we have enjoyed his presence in our souls, in our homes, in house, and can we say, we love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells, the joy of thy abode, all earthly joy excels. Is this then a place for you where you, your Saviour, often met? And where you have feasted upon his grace? Where you have held communion with him? When and where you have known occasions, moments, when you have been so filled with his love that you have not really known how to bear? And when you have been able to say how sacred is the place where Jesus does the need, and where Jesus holds his court, and where he favours his people, where he leads them as the good shepherd of his sheep into the pastures of his word. Well, what a mercy then if we have met with our Lord here. If this house of God is to us the house of God, and if it is to us the place where his honour dwells, how thankful we need to be if we meet in such an atmosphere, and if we meet in such a place. Now, as we come then to the subject, further truths that we must notice, speak of to the glory of our God. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Now, two things here. If we are truly exercised in our coming to the house of God, and as we are favoured in this, we shall know what it is to be very concerned in secret with regard to our gathering together in the house of God. I well know that more sinners feel the effect of the labours of the week that has gone, and how very real this is. Perhaps some of you, especially as you retired to rest on the past evening, you may have felt exceedingly weary because of all the labour of the week that is now past. And yet, at the same time, if we are truly exercised, if we are truly concerned in our coming up to the house of God, we shall certainly know something of this. We shall be very concerned about our gathering together in the house of God. What do these sweet spices speak of to us? I know that in a literal sense, these godly women have bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. But under the gospel dispensation, I venture to speak of these spices in this way. How blessed it is when we are favoured with real exercise in our souls, and especially concerning our gathering together for worship. What a sweet spice it God-given gracious exercise. When we know what it is to be compelled to go into sin and there to bow before our God and to plead with him for his blessing, I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. What a sweet spice that is. When we're favoured with it, and when we come up to the house of God, panting as the hart panted after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. Have we known something of this early this morning, during the days of the past week, in the midst of all that we've had to attend to? Have you known moments when your soul has been on flame, when your heart has been up unto the Lord, and when you've been exceedingly exercised concerning the coming Sabbath? Oh, what a mercy and what a wondrous thing this is. And if we've known something of it, so what a sweet spice this is when known, when poor trembling sinners come up to the house of God with that humble hope, given them that humble hope in their heart, and as they are found waiting upon the Lord, waiting to hear the Saviour's voice. Will he come today? Will he speak to me today? Will he reveal his sacred face to me today? Is that how you say? And what a very sweet spice is the gift of prayer. Oh, it is to know this, to praying souls he always grants more than they can express. But if we've known what it is to come up this morning with prayer, praying for our own souls, and as we've been brought to pray for the souls of others, and those of you that have come praying for your pastor, knowing and feeling in your heart that he needs help, knowing that he cannot minister the word of God to you only as he is helped to do so. Oh, I am thankful for every praying soul that gathers in this place. I am aware from time to time that my arms are held up, like Moses' arms were held up by Aaron and her, one on either side of him. Not only our dear brethren, the dear sisters in Christ, who know what it is to bear one up at the throne of grace, and not only that, I feel that there are younger friends here too, who know what it is to pray for their pastor. Well, this is something that's very precious. Something that I feel is recorded in these precious truths, known and felt under the gospel dispensation. And then as they came, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. One very special sweet spice I feel that we need in coming into the house of God with the cry, "Sir, we would see Jesus," is this. It is that precious gift of blood. When our hearts are moved by love, when the love of Christ constrained us, when we are granted that sacred, strange, yet blessed feeling of love in our soul, love to Jesus Christ and his fixes the heart above, and it does. Well, if you felt your heart moved with love this morning in the prospect of coming to Japan, do you know what it is to weep before the Lord this morning? And yet to weep because of the love of Christ as it has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost? And you've presence of God with this sweet and precious feeling of love to Him. Love to Him first. Love to His dear people. Love to His servants. Love to His word. Love to His wife. Well, how blessed, how sacred it is when poor sinners are favoured to come into the house of God like this. And then in a word, one thinks of the graces of the Spirit. The precious graces of the Spirit. To be favoured with a contrite heart, a broken spirit. To be favoured with love and joy and peace. To be favoured in our souls, to know what it is to come into the house of God, feelingly softened by the Holy Spirit. There is a hymn that speaks like this. The contrite heart and broken, God will not give to ruin. A sacrifice He'll not despise, for 'tis His Spirit's will. Oh, how precious then to come into the house of God with a softened heart. To sit down in our seat, to bow our head before our God, and then to wait upon Him, to wait for Him, and to wait to see what will take place. We shall be found waiting to know what the hymns will be. This will not be a light matter with us. I mentioned earlier on about those that come praying for their pastor or praying for the servants of God. But do we know what it is to pray for those that come to the dead? I know they are prayed for. I know they are prayed for in our prayer meeting. And I know and believe they are prayed for in secret. Well, that in itself is something to be very thankful for. Those that come to the dead. And friends, they need the Holy Spirit's guidance to every hymn. And I believe they seek for it. And when you are favoured, even in this part of divine worship, I hope you will remember those that give out the hymns, and I hope when there is the need for it, that you will tell them what a help a hymn or hymns have been to yourself. They need encouragement. As the minister needs encouraging, but those that come to the desk need encouraging. It's a very real exercise to them. And how wonderful it is when there's a blending together. I feel it has been so again this morning. And I feel it has been so many, many, many times throughout the years. And it's a part of divine worship. Wonderful thing when our hearts are softened through the precious language contained in the hymn. And one would not overemphasize this, because it is a more wonderful thing when our hearts are softened and moved by the precious word of God. And then there's this, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Very early in the morning. I would speak rightly here, and I desire and must speak with faith. But in the history of our country, when God has granted times of gracious, sacred revival, times of great blessing, if you, those of you that have read of this, will know that the people during those times knew what it was to gather very early in the morning for worship. They knew what it was to be so exercised concerning their gathering together for worship that they were moved in their hearts very early in the morning. Now do not misunderstand me in this, because the Lord knows each one's life and he knows how we are. But what I am trying to say is that we have a pattern here. A pattern that surrounds real blessing. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. These dear godly women, and we read in one place, while it was yet dark. And what I would seek to convey is, they were so exercised. They were so burdened. They so loved their Lord that they wanted to be at that sepulchre at the earliest opportunity. And why did they want to be at that sepulchre? Because there was this in their heart. They wanted to find their Lord. They wanted to find their Lord. Well, is this why we've come this morning? Do you want to find your Lord? Does this outweigh everything else in your soul this morning? You want to find your Lord? Now, whilst we have spoken in the way that we have, it may well be that there are those here who feel to be completely opposite. You may feel to be dark. You may feel to be dead. You may feel to be lifeless. You may feel to be frail. You may feel to be so unmoved. You may feel to be just like Martha, careful and troubled about many things, cumbered about much serving. You may feel as though your poor mind is taken up with everything but Jesus. You may feel that you seem to be enveloped in your trials and troubles and difficulties and the things that are in your life. You may feel completely opposite to what these godly women were favoured. Now, for your encouragement, underneath it all, do you long to feel different? Underneath it all, do you long to feel different? Has the Lord Jesus said this to you as he said it to Mary? As he spoke first of all to Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. But one thing is needful. Now, however you may feel this morning, you may feel to be dead and lifeless. You may feel to be in darkness. You may feel to be under temptation. And yet at the same time, is there this with you? Do you know that the words of Jesus are true? At least you know them to be true. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So do you long to have Mary's porch? Do you long to sit at Jesus? Well, I hope that if there should be any here this morning who have come in the exercise of one of their hymns that says, I'm cold, I'm dark, I'm dead. I leave you with what follows. Jesus can revive. And oh, I hope that before this Lord's Day comes to an end, you'll find a complete change in your soul's experience. And that you might go home tonight, wonder of wonders, to embracing the Lord Jesus Christ in the arms of faith. Oh, I hope it will be so. The Lord knows how you've come. Oh, one thing before I come. something the Lord has done for you. It's something the Lord has given you. And what are Jesus' own words to say? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened.